You're listening to Bass Fan Radio.
Hi, welcome to Bass Fan Radio. I'm your host, John Storm, and today on the line I have Anthony Gagliardi. Are you there, Anthony?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, thanks so much for joining me. I know you got to head out on the road here pretty quickly, but I did want to touch back on the significance of your win last weekend at Table Rock, which was a great win. And a little interesting, too, because you ended last year on what I assume would be a pretty big disappointment, a Forestwood Cup in your home lake, a 48th at Lake Murray, really nowhere near contention. Yet you come out this year, you finish 29th at Guntersville. That's a great finish on the tour. And then you win at Table Rock. How's that feel?
It feels great, especially, as you mentioned, coming off that disappointment to end the year last year. Last year it seemed that every tournament throughout the course of the season was about points to me, because first and foremost, I wanted to qualify for the Tour Cup on Lake Murray, because that's what I had in my sights from the get-go. And I wasn't ever really worried about making any top tens. I just wanted to earn points each tournament and make sure that I earned a berth in that, and accomplished that goal. But then, as everybody knows, once I got there, things didn't come together like I anticipated and had hoped for. And to be able to come back this year and start off strong and get a win within the first two events, makes it a little bit easier to deal with what happened there at the end of last year.
When you compare this win to your two previous tour wins, which would be in 06 at Lake Murray and then I think 04 at Kentucky Lake, are there any similarities? Were they both sort of a run-and-gun type of tournament?
It actually ended up being eerily similar to Kentucky Lake, the way things played out. And I even realized that, during the course of the tournament. First of all, at Kentucky Lake, I had weighed in 14 pounds or so the first day of the cut there, and was in about fifth place. And then that second day, I caught another 14. And coming in, I figured, I should finish in the top four and top five or so, and probably not have a chance to win. But it turned out I won that tournament, even though I was in a 5-pound deficit after that third day. And so here, same thing kind of happened. I had around 14 pounds or so and came in with another 14. And just being consistent was enough to jump up in the first place after the 2 days. And the biggest thing, I think, that stood out to me was I caught two fish on one cast at Kentucky Lake on that final day. And that happened here at Table Rock on the fourth and final day I caught. And actually, both of these were keepers. I had one about 3.5 and one about 2.5 pounds on my Lucky Craft Pointer 100 DD. And right then, flashbacks of Kentucky Lake popped in my head as soon as I put those fish in the net.
That's amazing. And, it's interesting because, of course, jerk baiting in winter at spring cold water in the Ozarks is a time-honored pattern down there. Yet when you think about that, you generally tend to think about your custom-painted Rogues, maybe some vintage Rapala stuff. Yet you were throwing Lucky Craft. And I'm sure you're in some of the tackle shops and talking to some of the guys down there. Are Japanese baits sort of taking off in the Clearwater Ozark stuff, or were you kind of on your own down there with that?
No, I mean, they really have. Over the years, as we've gone to Beaver Lake time and time again, it seems that it really has taken off there, and Lucky Craft has become a staple, among the local fishermen that for years had been diehard Rogue and Rapala fans. But it has taken off, and that's my favorite bait that Lucky Craft makes. I think that Pointer 100 in both the deep diver and the standard 100 is just, it to me, it's the best jerk bait that I've ever fished with. And I fished a lot of that old stuff, and it just has the right combination of action, castability, and depth. I think that's the biggest thing. That 100 DD is able to get down to depths that fish aren't used to seeing a suspending jerk bait. And that was key for me, I think, in this last win, was just getting it down there a little bit deeper, making long casts with light line, fishing around that submerged timber. I think that made a big difference.
One of the things that the 78 did, the Pointer 78, to sort of revolutionize jerk baiting was allowed you to walk the dog underwater. Can you do that with a deep diver pointer, or is that somewhat subdued?
It's not as easy to do that with the deep diver. You can do it with the 100. The 100 walks good like that. And I fish the 100, like the regular standard 100, a lot, because you can see that as it comes back to the boat in clear water. So you can really vary your retrieve and give it the action that you want and see that bait and see what it's doing and really get it to do some, you know, pretty unique things. The 100, it's not as easy. First of all, it gets down where you can't see it, so you can't keep an eye on it and give it action based on what you're looking at. But it's still fairly erratic, you know, for a jerkbait with a bill that size. A lot of times when you get a jerkbait that has a bigger bill on it, it turns into more of a crankbait, and it's just, if you pull it, it comes forward and wiggles, and that's all it does. But the 100 DD still has some, you know, erratic action. I think it's important that a jerkbait has that in order to produce strikes.
Cool. And we got to wrap up here, Anthony, but I did want to ask you, you're going on the road tomorrow. What's next for you?
I'm on the way to Eufaula tomorrow for FLW Series, which, you know, I'm off to a pretty good start in that one as well. So, you know, I'm hoping to ride this little wave of momentum into these next couple of events. And, you know, I look forward to, you know, I really have a lot of confidence going into the, you know, the second half of this season, especially in the tour. So, you know, I think I'm primed for another pretty good year.
You think a pre-spawn at Eufaula, or are those fish done and gone?
They'll probably, it's early enough that there's still going to be some spawners, I'm sure, that some have probably spawned and moved out. So there'll be a little bit of, you know, a few different things going on. But I would have to imagine sight fishing is going to probably play a major role still.
Yeah, okay. Well, congratulations again, Anthony, and thanks so much for joining us today. And good luck at Eufaula and the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Bass Fan Radio.